about Americans detained by Russia and kidnapped by Hamas not being able to spend Thanksgiving with their families.
We ain't giving up. We're going to keep going until we get there.
4-day ceasefire in Gaza between Israel and Hamas set to begin tomorrow morning. Qatar helped broker the deal. Foreign Ministry spokesperson Majad Al Ansari.
The lists have been approved. They have been given to both sides. The Palestinians have the list of those who will be released from Israeli prisons, and the Israelis have the list. The Mossad has a list of the hostages that will be released.
Gaza will also receive medical supplies during the ceasefire. Violent fights erupting in central Dublin after a 5-year-old girl was seriously hurt in a knife attack. Protesters on the streets meeting 400 officers in riot gear. Retailers ready for the Black Friday crowds, hoping deep discounts draw shoppers weary of inflation and recent credit card debt. This is ABC News.
Say it with me, the Bucks in six. And you could catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on Lake Air Radio, WLAK, 1260 AM in Amory. Your station for the Milwaukee Bucks, your hometown radio refreshed.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When you...
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. 4 people in Wisconsin have gotten sick from salmonella poisoning from eating cantaloupes. The State Department of Health Services says 2 of them had to go to the hospital. Some whole fresh cantaloupes sold in mid-October are being recalled. So are pineapple spears with October expiration date sold at Aldi stores. Holiday cheer is tempered with sadness in Waukesha. 6 people were killed and 60 others were injured in an attack on the city's Christmas parade 2 years ago this week. A memorial was dedicated on Tuesday and flags across Wisconsin were lowered yesterday.
Horrible, horrible things happen in this world, but that healing is possible.
Jan Kwiatkowski is a member of the Dancing Grannies troupe. She lost 4 friends in the attack. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
I'm Terry Barr. A holiday tradition continues with an expanded schedule this weekend, including games on Black Friday. Football and Thanksgiving have been served up together for more than 140 years. The first featuring college teams, Yale and Princeton. The NFL, National Football League, took over the holiday games in 1920. By the 1930s, Detroit became host to the yearly game, and the Packers kicked off one of the longest runs as a regular Lions opponent on Thanksgiving. A few games stand out, and some football experts point at the 1962 matchup. An undefeated Packers team lost in Detroit when the Lions beat Green Bay 26-14 after sacking quarterback Bart Starr 11 times. The Packers and Lions also hold the record for one of the holiday games with the highest score. Green Bay won this one in 1986, 44-40. For the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Terry Barr.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Chris from Middleton. Welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
I'm a Democrat. I totally agree that there's been too much corporate influence probably in the Democratic Party. I liked how Bernie talked about economic issues, and I agree we need more of that. But I don't think we can also afford to shy away from the identity politics. In fact, we got to lean into the identity politics and not be shy about it.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Bucks lose in Boston. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Milwaukee got off to a slow start and lost to the Celtics 119-116. Boston was up 21 points in the first half. Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin compared the game to a Dickens novel.
Tell of two games there. First half, I thought, you have to execute at a high level. And we miss a lot of shots. Whatever you do when you play the Celtics or a team like that, you got to multiply it by 2.
College hoops, the Wisconsin Badgers got hot late in the fourth quarter to beat SMU 69-61 to win the Fort Myers tip-off title. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers getting ready for Minnesota on Saturday. Luke Fickell asked if he has enough healthy starters to compete.
You know, there's a lot of those things that we're going to have to figure out as we move forward. Like I said, everybody hurts, right? It's the last week of the season. And everybody hurts, but everybody wants to play in the rivalry game.
That's Wisconsin's head coach, Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast. 13 tonight, under clear skies, winds out of the northwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. High of 28 tomorrow. 17 tomorrow night. Cloudy. About an inch of snow Sunday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 23.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
I'm not even clear from conflicting headlines whether or not Robin Voss has the cojones to move forward with impeachment against Megan Mullen. Why would he do such a thing? You know, just a couple of weeks after he said he wasn't going to do such a thing. Well, he's been threatened, huh? By what? A group headed by his primary opponent, Adam Steed.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. This is your local civic media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Like smelt fries and music on the river, we're uniquely Amory. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
In the kitchen this glorious day. Smell the gravy simmering nearly half a mile away. Lady Morning Glory, I say good morning to you. Chirpy little chickadee, told me.
Happy Thanksgiving, and welcome to this special edition of the Maggie Dawn Show. While Maggie and I are out of office today celebrating Thanksgiving, we hope you'll enjoy this specially curated Thanksgiving-themed Best Of episode. We're going to take some time today to revisit some of the best interviews, the best guests, and the most fun moments we had this fall. We hope you're enjoying time at home with family like we are, and we hope you'll enjoy this episode today.
She saw me coming. Gonna get a taste before it goes to waste. This honeybee's humming. Mr. Weeping Willow, I'm through with all my faults. 'Cause my baby's ready to do the ever new gravy waltz.
Men and women, if you're wondering what I mean by that, I've got some questions. So let's start there. If any of these resonate with you, my great friend, coach to the Fortune 100 CEO set, Susan K. Worley, inventor of the cheetah method. We're going to be here talking about this, listening to your stories, sharing some of ours this entire hour. Do any of these statements resonate with you? Ladies and men that love any woman, if you're a man, do you know a woman who might identify with this? Any of these statements? I said yes, even when I didn't want to. I've endured cruelty and abuse because I was trying to help blank. I hold my tongue more than I say what I think, feel, expect, or need. I hold my tongue more than I say what I think, feel, expect, or need. I let others have the last word, even when I passionately disagree, just to keep the peace. And last but certainly not least, I fear disappointing people. Ladies, men that love any woman, do these resonate with you? So Susan is with me here in the studio, and I want to explain the origin for our discussion today. And that was a piece in Time magazine written by Maital Eyal. Last name is spelled E-Y-A-L in case you're trying to look it up. The topic, the title of the piece was Self-Silencing is Making Women Sick. And I wanted to start with a few statistics. Then I want Susan to introduce myself, and then we're going to get all into it. Women account for 80% of autoimmune disease. Women are at higher risk for chronic pain, insomnia, fibromyalgia, long COVID, IBS, and migraines, chronic fatigue, HIV, and cancer. We experience these things twice as much as men. Depression, anxiety, and PTSD. We're twice as likely as men to suffer a heart attack. And we have a nine-fold greater incidence of anorexia, which is the most lethal of all mental health diseases. And this cannot be explained statistically by genetics or hormones or even whether or not we're smokers, not smokers, our blood pressure levels, what we eat. In 2022, the University of Pittsburgh found that women of color who agreed strongly with this statement were 70% more likely to experience carotid arteriosclerosis, which is cardiovascular plaque. It was this statement: I rarely express my anger to those close to me. In Massachusetts, just a few years ago, they concluded a study where researchers followed 4,000 women for over 10 years. And what they found was that women reported consistent levels of self-silencing, which is not expressing boundaries, needs, angers, disagreement, concerns. Women who self-silenced on a routine basis were four times more likely to die. I'll say this, that the virtues of womanhood, some of what we're taught to believe is normal or best for women to behave like, actually makes us sick. It can kill us. So we're going to talk about Susan's experience, my experience, and your experience. 844-967-2789. Do you have experience with self-silencing? The other ways I like to express this, Susan, is the curse of competence. We have to be competent and in control in every circumstance. We have the curse of congeniality.
In the air?
Nope, probably not. That's all of those things are a big deal. Maybe you can. I don't know. Is the B word one of them? Who knows? That we have to have a purpose to be perfect.
Right.
Right? These are heavy burdens.
Mother Teresa.
Yes.
Virgin Mary, you know.
All of that stuff, right? Agreeability, extreme selflessness, the suppression of anger, the likability dilemma. 844-967-2789. And I haven't even gotten to the expectation that we look pretty all the time.
Well, right. We can look pretty, but not speak up. Like, just sit there and look nice.
Look pretty, but don't speak.
Right.
And if you do, be really nice about it.
Yeah. I pivoted my business from working with men. I'm an executive coach to women 5 years ago. And a complete difference. I mean, men can get away with saying to each other, that's ridiculous. You're full of, you know,
yep,
what?
Yep.
And stuff like that. And they never think, oh, was I too mean? Or did I say that right? Where women are really afraid of that because we've been conditioned just the way you explained.
Well, and I think the self-editing that goes on, right? The fear of disappointing, the fear of being unliked. I have personally struggled with that through my entire career. I think anybody that's listened to the Maggie Dawn Show would likely guess that people have used all sorts of words to describe me throughout my life. The B word, the C word. Some of the cleaner words, insolent.
There's a whole alphabet for
yes,
that, right?
Uppity. We could probably do an alphabet of pejorative terms about women when they stand up for themselves, right?
I can think of a few others.
Yes. Maybe that'll be like a little vocab test for me next week. Can I come up with an alphabet of words that people use to basically tell women to look pretty and shut up?
Right.
Have you experienced this? 844-967-2789. This article struck so many chords for me, even in how I have to express legal advice, right? What is solidly within my expertise area? I have to do that in an extremely deferential way, right? Lest anyone be upset by it. Now, I've accepted that, and there's ways that I let myself be me when I'm doing that. But it's taken a long time to get to that place for me. Can you tell us a little bit, how did you become a professional coach, Susan? What's your story? What made you decide to focus on women leaders?
Well, I've been in business as an executive coach for 34 years. In the first 29 years, I was actually working with executive men. I pivoted 5 years ago to work with women because the brain research is really supporting exactly what you're saying, Maggie. What's happening is that in our gut, women, we have more neurotransmitters, hormones, and neurons than in our head brain. And what happens is when we get this gut alert, and we call it women's intuition, what happens is we then get stuck in our heart as we're bringing this up the vagus nerve, all these emotions and wondering, is it okay to have the emotions? Is it okay to express the emotion? Is it normal? Am I too sensitive? And what happens is all that energy, the neurons, neurotransmitters, hormones, are getting stuck in our body. Think of it as this vagus nerve that goes through, it's the biggest nerve in the body. It goes through the gut, heart, to the head. And if we get stuck in the muck of our emotions, that means all of that is stuck in our body, and that's what's making us sick. I didn't see that with men. And when I saw that the statistics said that women outrank men 17 out of 19 leadership characteristics, but we needed to work on two, risk-taking and negotiation. That's speaking up.
Yes.
That's speaking up. And I'm like, you know, I think I can help them, because working with men for all those years, I know what is okay and what is not.
It's interesting when you talk about risk-taking was one, and then what was the other one?
Negotiation, which is speaking up too.
Right. To me, risk-taking is accepting that you might disappoint.
Hello, exactly 100%. It's you facing your own truth about that and then taking that deep breath into your gut. And let's feel that all in our, you know, heart right now, that anxiety, like, okay, I'm going to take a risk and speak my truth. Then the second part is the negotiation, right? Everything's not black and white.
How many times, women, have you said yes before you've negotiated for the resources necessary to actually fulfill the yes, right? Like, holy cannoli. It took me 15 years into my career because I wanted to please so badly that by pleasing, I was validated, I was affirmed, that I was showing that I was worthy, right? So I would say yes, and then I would struggle because there weren't enough resources. Instead of saying, I might be able to do that, but here's what I need. Negotiate before the yes.
Yeah.
Right?
This is a common thing, whether it's at home or at work. I'll have my female clients say to me that so-and-so wants something more of me. They want a piece of me, like Britney Spears, right?
Yep.
And then I always say to them, well, right, show what you've got going on and say,
yes,
hey, I would love to help, but here's my situation. How might we? This is the famous phrase that I use. How might we? How might we consider what you need, but also consider what I have all going on right now?
And
that's negotiation.
Yes. And it happens in everyday little ways. It happens in enormous ways, whether we're negotiating for raises or for resources when there's an incredible expansion of duties and responsibilities. How many of you sitting out there, ladies, 844-967-2789, are thinking to yourself, yes, I've taken on all kinds of more duties at work, but oddly, my salary didn't go up. And why is that? We're going to continue to unpack this with my good friend, Susan K. Worley, founder of the Cheetah Method, an insightful and enormously topical guest today. Join our conversation here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be back after this quick break. That's where I'm going to be, because I want to be.
Pretty girl up in a pretty world, but they say pretty hurts, and I don't. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Now Dinah Shore and the chorus join to bring us an Irving Berlin song inspired by the American spirit of Thanksgiving.
Thanks for the Yanks and for Russia's giant guns and for all the other sons of freedom. Thanks for the Yanks and for China and the Dutch and for all who've done so much for freedom.
Happy Thanksgiving and welcome to this special edition of the Maggie Dawn Show. While Maggie and I are out of office today celebrating Thanksgiving, we hope you'll enjoy this specially curated Thanksgiving-themed Best Of episode. We're going to take some time today to revisit some of the best interviews, the best guests, and the most fun moments we had this fall. We hope you're enjoying time at home with family like we are, and we hope you'll enjoy this episode today.
I've got plenty to be thankful for.
No, I am here joined in the studio by with Susan K. Worley, inventor of the Cheetah Method, executive coach extraordinaire. We're talking about women's self-silencing, the curse of competence, the crisis of congeniality, that our purpose must be perfection. And as ever and always, Anya's got the great music. What was that coming back in? Labor by, I missed the artist.
That was Labor by, let me get her name right, Paris Paloma. I love that name, Labor.
Very, and L-A-B-O-U-R.
That's right.
The English spelling.
The English, Labor. Yes.
Just wanted to drop a couple more facts. In the 1980s, a Harvard-trained psychologist, and forget the guy's name, I just picked up the study, wrote a paper about the fact that he had been treating women with very persistent and deep depression, and he identified basically four or five common characteristics that basically, if women experienced these, it would lead to depression, right? And they were self-silencing, compulsive caretaking, pleasing the other, the inhibition of self-expression, in an attempt to actually achieve intimacy and have their relational needs met.
Oh, can I relate to this?
Right?
Oh, my gosh. My story, I'm having a docuseries that's coming out next year, and there's three threads to the story. The first one is my true real-life story, which was about self-silencing. We had a secret in my family. It was my mother's affair that she had when she was married, and we were a very Catholic family. Yeah. My aunt was the president of Mount Mary College here, helped to write the Catholic curriculum. I mean, we have pictures with her with President Lyndon Johnson. So everybody was trying to, you know, really behave themselves. But my mom, she ended up having my brother and I with another man when she was married. Now, here's me, 5 years old, super intuitive. And I'm saying to my mom, Mom, that's not my real dad that's raising me, is it? Her married husband. Where do you get that silly idea from? That's your silly imagination. So silencing that. Now, I don't blame my mom for that at all. That was her shame.
The time.
Yep. Or the time of our world then. There was no such thing as an annulment with a Catholic church at the time or anything like that. But what's interesting to me is my self-silencing due to exactly what you're saying, Maggie. That need to be connected. That need for love. You know, and that's why we do it. We have to own that. We have to own that, women, that it's not somebody else silencing us. It's why are we self-silencing? Because we want that love.
Well, and I think understanding, to me, when I read a lot of this, the statistics, some of the studies, what really jumped off the page to me is that all of these things that frankly get affirmed and that are, in effect, cultural expectations, they're gender norms, right? That when we internalize these behaviors, what we're doing is robbing ourselves of choice and agency, right?
100%.
Because if your needs are shameful, mm-hmm. whether they're sexual needs or professional needs or 100%. Relational needs, emotional needs, those things are a point of shame. If a boundary can't be set because you will disappoint, it starts to feel like you don't have agency and choice. It's extremely disempowering.
And that's where I have complete compassion for my mother. I know she wanted to have children. I'm not even sure she wanted to be married ever.
But there wasn't an option
at that in that day and age. And thank good for goodness for who's her Angelina Jolie, where she made People magazine for, when she was having all these kids without being married at first. I think it really gave women freedom to start looking at what do I want?
Yes.
And how do I want to get that in my life?
One of my favorite callers is on the line, a professor. So an academic, an intellectual, a very, very smart lady. Joanne from Madison, welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. Say hi to Susan. And what do you have to share this afternoon?
This is Joe from Madison.
Oh, so I'm sorry.
Joe. Joe and a Joanne. Yeah. Well, I wish I were a university professor. I know Joanne, and she's very, very eloquent and all. But I'm Joe, a little bit smaller in the competency field. But I
Wait. I have to stop you there, Joe. Here's what we all have to stop doing, right? And that's immediately devaluing what we're about to say. So you needn't be a university professor to have some great insight and lived experience to share. So my apologies for getting it wrong, Joe. You go be you. What you have to say is just as valuable as anybody else. Go ahead, my friend.
Well, and I hope that Joanne calls too, because she's a great talker too. So at any rate, I did want to make the point, two points that I wanted to make. Number one, within this last couple of weeks, Simone Biles got herself the title of the most decorated gymnast in history. Now, I would add on to this that back in 2021, if you recall, she left the Olympic team before individual stuff was done and before the team played, because she felt that her mind and her body were not in sync for the Olympic performance. She was reamed up one side and down the other. How dare you? You lightheaded idiot woman. You're letting your team down. You're a loser. Blah blah blah. And I thought it was really interesting that as you talked about it more, you realize there are gymnasts when they have been out of sync, women gymnasts who have fallen and injured themselves terribly. There's a woman out of England who was left with spinal cord injuries from a gymnastic injury. And now here she is 2 years later, listening to herself. But I can remember men making the comment of, God, it's just like a woman. I don't feel well, so I don't think I'll finish what I'm doing on the team.
Yeah, it's really, thank you so much for that, Joe. We're going to talk a little bit more about Miss Biles, also Miss Coco Gauff, when we come back, about mental health and athletes. We're going to go to break. Join our conversation, 844-967-2789. You've got Susan K. Worley, executive coach to the best women leaders in southeastern Wisconsin, here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
With the City of Lakes, in touch with you. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. A fugitive is now formally charged with the death of his 12-year-old son, whose decomposing body was found in a home in Milwaukee last month. The Milwaukee County District Attorney's Office filed reckless homicide charges this week against Romuan Moy. No one is sure exactly when Jackery Robinson died or how. Meanwhile, Moy is on the run and there's a warrant out for his arrest. Prosecutors in Wisconsin may Sunday get more time to file sexual assault charges. Republican Senator Andre Jacques is introducing a bill to extend the statute of limitations for sex crimes in Wisconsin from 10 years to 20. Jacques says prosecutors in other states have 20 years to press sexual assault charges. A similar bill passed the state Senate last year but stalled in the Assembly. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
I'm Terry Barr. A small company creates a big business because of its leftover Thanksgiving turkey and what it means to meals today. An Instacart survey shows 98% of grocery store shoppers buy a half dozen frozen meals every year. But in 1954, it takes an over-order by Swanson Foods for the idea of a reheatable dinner to become reality. Employees at the time are facing 260 tons of extra turkey, and rather than eat the huge financial loss, individual turkey dinners are created using airline meals as an example. Each tray includes the turkey along with dressing, potatoes, gravy, and peas in individual sections. It's frozen, shipped off to grocery stores, and before the end of the year, 10 million of these trays, now being called TV dinners, are sold at just 98 cents apiece. For the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Terry Barr.
An RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
The Bucks lose in Boston. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Milwaukee got off to a slow start and lost to the Celtics 119-116. Boston was up 21 points in the first half. Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin compared the game to a Dickens novel.
Tell of two games there. First half, I thought, you have to execute at a high level. And we miss a lot of shots. Whatever you do when you play the Celtics or a team like that, you got to multiply it by two.
College hoops, the Wisconsin Badgers got hot late in the fourth quarter to beat SMU 69-61 to win the Fort Myers tip-off title. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers getting ready for Minnesota on Saturday. Luke Fickell asked if he has enough healthy starters to compete.
You know, there's a lot of those things that we're going to have to figure out as we move forward. Like I said, everybody hurts, right? It's the last week of the season. And everybody hurts, but everybody wants to play in the rivalry game.
That's Wisconsin's head coach, Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast. 13 tonight, under clear skies, winds out of the northwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. High of 28 tomorrow, 17 tomorrow night, cloudy. About an inch of snow Sunday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 23.
The Todd Almost Show.
What really prompted me to call is how respectful and willing to listen you are. We are human beings. People have their beliefs for a whole lot of reasons, some of them rational, maybe some of them not.
Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate the call, Stephanie. Look, we just need to listen to each other. Doesn't mean we always have to agree. I'm not going to give in on what facts are, but we do have to listen to one another if we want to try to get this country back on track.
The Todd Almost Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Broadcasting from atop the water tower.
Well, not really, but it sounds fun.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Here she is, fellas, and this is for you. It's our own lovely Dale Evans singing Ray Noble's arrangement of I Get the Neck of the Chicken.
Do-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I get the neck of the chicken, I get the rumble seat ride, I get the leaky umbrella, everyone shoves me aside. When I jump in my shower each morn, sure as fate, I'm too late, all the hot water is gone. I get the neck of the chicken. Well, I get the plate with the cracks. I get those evenings with Grandma. Everyone else can relax. That's why I can't get over this dream that's come true. If I get the neck of the chicken, well, how did I ever get you?
Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show, and a happy Thanksgiving. Maggie and I are out of office today celebrating Thanksgiving, so we hope you'll enjoy this very special best of episode, revisiting some of our favorite fall moments.
This dream that's come true, if I get the neck of the chicken, well, how did I ever get you?
Hey, Maggie.
Yeah, hey, Anya.
Hey, I just had a quick question for you before the show, you know?
What's up?
Is there anything you're really scared of?
Let me see here.
You're just so brave and, you know, tall and, you know, not scared of anything. But what about goblins or things that go bump in the night? Or what about ghosts?
Yeah.
Wait, I hear something.
What is it?
Do you hear that? There's like some.
Process, but you're going to see this group looking.
What's that noise?
Like a well-oiled machine.
Oh, dear God.
What is that? Hold on. Oh, my.
Oh,
those sound like ghosts. Is there anything we can do, Maggie?
God, what is that? That's the sound of the GOP celebrating Speaker Johnson?
It sounds like that.
Yeah, I'm scared of that.
Something strange in your neighborhood. Who are you gonna call?
Ghostbusters!
Is there something weird and it don't look good? Who are you gonna call?
Ghostbusters!
I ain't afraid of no ghost.
Everybody, it's the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network, and you heard it here first. The one thing I am afraid of is Speaker Mike Johnson. Yikes! I you know, today began as a beautiful fall Wisconsin day, Anya. I looked out my bedroom window. I saw the brightest, most beautiful sort of fall yellow color. The tree still was fully yellow with leaves from top to bottom. They'll all be gone in a couple days. Took the dog for a walk. Beautiful leaves, beautiful colors. It's the urban, you know, like there's just one layer of fallen leaves on everything. It's a little damp, smells so good. A beautiful morning for a little walk with the dog. As I was coming around the corner and enjoying living in a city and how close everything is and how lucky I am and all the parks around us, I then remembered that the GOP elected Mike Johnson of Louisiana as their speaker, and all of that bliss, yes, just went poof.
Sure as fate, while I wait, he says, "Hon, put your big sis on." I go for a meeting.
We were doing a momentary reflection on all the wonderfulness of Wisconsin in the fall and the holiday season. But we had to face the very scary reality that Representative Mike Johnson of Louisiana is now the Speaker of the House. Oh, dear. It's really that bad. So the man has basically no relevant experience. I mean, nearly one of the most substantively, forget his policy positions, but like substantively in terms of the management skills of being the Speaker of the House, substantively is probably one of the least qualified members of Congress. Has never held a leadership position, has never chaired a committee. Okay.
So, if you haven't yet seen a picture of Speaker Mike Johnson, you should pull one up. Not while you're driving. Don't do this now, but you can look at him. And he looks like Beaver Cleaver, right? He looks like, oh, this guy, how bad can this guy be? And indeed, that's kind of how he's gotten by for a while. And so everybody is sort of whimsically referred to him as Jim Jordan with a suit coat on and less of a sneer. But I would argue that the guy's more dangerous because, unlike Jim Jordan, most people had no idea who he was. I would argue that when the vote went down, there were many Republicans in that room that didn't know how extreme this guy is. So, very briefly, he basically ran a high-pressure campaign to get 125 of his House colleagues to sign onto an amicus brief challenging the election results in Arizona and Pennsylvania on completely garbage grounds. The guy is a lawyer. He's fairly well-read in constitutional matters. And he basically leaned on people. Many of them complained later when the suit was booted by the Supreme Court for having a lack of standing. After the case was tossed out, and this stuff to me is really interesting because, you know, I'm the nerdy lawyer. So after this case was tossed out, where he basically strong-armed a bunch of his colleagues into signing on to this friend of the court or amicus brief, he was asked in a New Yorker interview why he thought Trump's legal team had basically failed in every case they brought to challenge the election outcomes. They did it in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Georgia, and Arizona. Many of you know I had to deal with some of that in my day job. And in every one of those states and cases, almost without exception, there were a couple where some small technical elements of what were things that were complained about were said by the court to be like, yep, but that should be done differently. But no case, not a single claim, nothing ever reversed a vote or threw out a vote or found that things had any level of systemic or organized or intentional fraud. None of it. Zero. Batted zero. Okay? So he gets asked by the New Yorker, why is it that Trump lost on everything that mattered about this? And here's what his answer was. It appears that some of the larger law firms that might have been lined up early on backed out. And then Rudy Giuliani was in charge. I just don't think their army of lawyers was large enough. Leave it to a lawyer to be like, hey, why'd you lose that case? Was it because the argument was bogus and you had no facts to support it? No, no, no. There just weren't enough lawyers. Thank you, Speaker Johnson, for that searing insight. The guy's an election denialist. I'm sure lots of the other wonderful hosts on civic media will talk about the election denialism, the tweets, all of it. But I wanted to point that little part out because, wow. No, they didn't have enough lawyers. Nothing about the merits. I mean, he just said the quiet part out loud there, didn't he? Nothing about the facts, nothing about the law. Anya, if you've got that sound of him going completely bananas about a woman's right, let's just roll that. That and this are part of what really bothered me about this guy.
Wade gave constitutional cover to the elective killing of unborn children in America, period. You think about the implications of that on the economy. We're all struggling here to cover the bases of Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid and all the rest. If we had all those able-bodied workers in the economy, we wouldn't be going upside down and toppling over like this. Listen,
the gentleman,
I will not yield. I will not. Roe was a terrible corruption of America's constitutional jurisprudence. Roe v. Wade.
Let me recap. There's no gray area. It's his set of religious beliefs or the highway, though we live in a secular democracy. And oh, by the way, why you want to force women to have babies? Yeah, that's so that we can like stick them on the factory line so that they can produce.
That reminds me of a hilarious homemade billboard I used to see when I would drive from Milwaukee back to Wausau, my hometown. It was like a little wagon up on a hill on the side of a field, and it had been written in letters, and it said, 45 million aborted babies who will never, what? What do you think? Who will never what? 45 million who will never
pay taxes?
Who will never pay Social Security. That's what it said for 8 years. And now it just says, let's go, Brandon. So.
Well, it's good to see that the thinking has evolved. Nuanced, isn't it?
It is. It is.
Very warm and fuzzy. Boy. Here's another probably lesser known fact that I am going to bet nobody on this network has yet pointed out. This guy, during the Trump presidency, you remember when Nancy Pelosi ripped up her copy of his State of the Union speech? Yeah. This guy made an argument that it was a crime, a felony, and then she needed to be criminally prosecuted. You know, well-balanced. Oh, before we go to break. Also, basically anti anything that's LGBTQIA+, and thinks gay marriage, just like abortion, is an abomination. That's your Speaker of the House of Representatives, election denier, insurrectionist, equal rights for all, except, you know, if you're different than that guy. I'm Maggie Dawn. When we come back, the musical director of the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. You're not going to want to miss this. So many questions.
I get the neck of the chicken.
I get the neck of the chicken. I get the rumble seat ride. I get the leaky umbrella. Everyone shoves me aside. When I jump in my shower each morn, sure as fate, I'm too late. All the hot water is gone. I get the neck of the chicken. Well, I get the plate with the cracks. I get those evenings with Grandma. Everyone else can relax. That's why I can't get over this dream that's come true. If I get the neck of the chicken, well, how did I ever get you, honey? I get the guy with the glasses. I always wonder myself why some girls get a John Payne. Mine's always strictly for F. That's why I can't get over this dream that's come true. If I get the neck of the chicken, well, how did I ever get you? The phone bell rings, who's calling? It's Don. Sure as fate, while I wait, he says, hon, put your big sis on. I go for a meechie, that he'll take me out is my hope. So I get a date with McCarthy. Oh, brother, there is a dope. That's why I can't get over this bolt from the blue. 'Cause I get the neck of the chicken. I take the awfulest licking. So why did I ever get you?
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
While there are many unexpected factors that can affect the next growing season, farmers have grown to expect the expected with Rank Seed. Our consistent top-end yields come from strict quality control, trusted technology, and local dealers invested in your success. Rank Seed has been a family-owned and operated business since 1846. More than 175 years later, we still have the highest performing genetics on the market in all environments. Expect the expected with Rank Seed.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Lake Air, 1260 AM, WLAK.
Let's have a hayride when red leaves are falling. Break out the blankets and cider and cheer. We'll sing the old harvest moon, just like a choir. Then pretty soon, we'll kiss by the fire. And though the fire burns away into ashes, the glow of love in our hearts will burn bright.
And gobble, gobble. As you're loading up that slice of pumpkin pie, please enjoy this last section of our fall best of episode for the Maggie Dawn Show.
That's the reaction we were hoping for.
Oh yeah, it's so good. I mean, everybody has heard that cut of an intro, right? And it's like, oh yay, I'm so glad this one's on the radio. There's so much holiday music that I can't bear anymore. But TSO stuff is always such a pleasure to hear. I'm so humbled to be joined by the musical director and one of the original founding members of the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Al Petrelli, joining me from Pennsylvania. We were talking in the break a little bit about New York City and Manhattan in particular. It's so fun to talk to you, hear you talking about different spots in the city. I'm born and raised in Milwaukee, but I ended up having the opportunity to move to New York for work, and it was like, oh, this is this old pair of jeans that I didn't know fit me this well. You know, it was like I got a lot of oxygen and a lot of energy, and will always take a little bit of New York with me. So such a pleasure. Thanks so much for joining me, Al.
No worries. It's been a pleasure, and thank you so very much for everything.
Yeah. So leading up to your joining me this evening, I was emailing with one of your colleagues trying to set up the show, and I emailed him and I said, hey, we're going to do TSO stuff for intros and outros for the different blocks. And I said, does Al have like a couple, 2-3 songs that are his absolute favorites? And your guy wrote back and he's like, no, he doesn't. They're all his babies. He's the musical director. And to me, that was like, oh, that told me a lot about you, because there is so much heart into these arrangements. Some of the more familiar music, right? But it sounds so differently. But I got to ask you, Al, I got you here. Come on, there's got to be one that like you particularly love, or at least it's like, boy, I really put it out there when I got that arranged like that. Or, you know, reconstructed it. There's got to be one.
Well, it's a fun question because, you know, it's like asking me which one of my children are my favorite. Kind of depends on what day it is, you know, who's been the least. If I had to pick one song, not child, I think the one you were just playing, Christmas Eve, Sarajevo, 1224, because that's the lightning strike that occurred 28 years ago, almost to the day, when it first was released accidentally to radio.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, what?
How does something get released accidentally to radio?
I mean, I've definitely released things accidentally on this radio, but...
Well, you got to think about the time, 95. You know, the 80s generation of guitar rock and roll was pretty much over with. The entire Seattle movement was taking over, and that's fine. So... here I am in the recording studio in 95 working with Paul O'Neill on this very dark, dramatic piece of music that was basically written to underscore a story that he was trying to tell about the war in Sarajevo.
Right.
Right. You know, when he put the faders up and I looked at him, I was like, dude, what's with the Christmas song? He explained the entire story, you know, about classical cellists would go down to the town square in Sarajevo and play Bach and Beethoven and Chopin pieces in protest to the bombing. And what Paul didn't know is that I was Alice Cooper's musical director before the war, and I played in Zagreb and Belgrade, and I was in the town square that he was describing in this story, you know? And I said, dude, press record. And that's where I just started kind of noodling with that little theme. He started humming God Rest You Merry Gentlemen. And we were like fist bumping and high fiving. It's like, that is the most incredible piece of music ever. I said, I don't know who's ever going to hear it. You know, who's going to listen to that version of a Christmas song? Well, there was a DJ in Tampa, Florida named Mason Dixon, who it landed in his hand accidentally. He played it for whatever the reason, and his phone lines lit up that he'd never seen a reaction like that. He sent it to Scott Shannon up at WPLJ in New York, which is the parent station. And he goes, you got to play this song just once and see what happens. And it was on. We had the number one requested song in America, I think, within 24 hours. You know you got a hit on your hands when talk radio is playing the song. Yeah. It was extraordinary. And then, this, you know, Christmas time's over, and that was the end of it. But Paul said, no, I'm writing an entire record around that one piece of music. And the record's going to be called Christmas Eve and Other Stories, and the band's going to be called the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. And I'm like, I'm in. You know, what? This is, you created an art form. You created fantastic art that didn't exist before.
You and evolved the thing, right? That is, that is extraordinary. I think for so many of us, the holidays can be really difficult. And so there is this incredible humanity in the melancholia. I think the angst, some of the like anger in that, it's just this intensely emotional experience that really connects with anybody that hears it. And I think we all owe you and Paul a debt of thanks because it is so cathartic in so many ways for many of us.
And that you said that, and I appreciate it, because one of the things that I didn't realize, now remember, I recorded this music, I don't know, I was 34, 35 years old, you know, 28 years ago. And getting older, I've realized that so many people relate to Paul's story about missing somebody, because everybody misses somebody. You know, and especially around the holidays, you know, there's an empty chair in my dining room table upstairs for a reason that will always stay empty, because there's people in my life that have left for whatever the reason. Either we don't talk because life kicked in or they passed on. But everybody in the arena, everybody listening to Paul's beautifully written story can relate and make it about themselves, because you can't get away from it. In life, you're going to miss people. And I always say that I'd rather miss somebody than have never had them in my life. You know, and you're right, it is very bittersweet, and there is a certain amount of stress and melancholy. But when you look around the arena, when the story's coming to life, you know, you think that you're alone in that sentiment of missing somebody, when you realize the other 17,000 people are going through the same thing. It doesn't negate what you're feeling, but there's some sense of, I don't know, maybe community or family, that we're all kind of going through this together, and it makes it a little easier to deal with. And it's okay to be sad, you know? There's nothing you can do about it.
We're going to have to end right there with it. Tonight, oh yeah, we'll have a hayride. Tonight, come on, we'll have a hayride.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The simple act of sharing gratitude is how Thanksgiving is described in the dictionary. But did you know the first official national holiday happened in 1789? It was declared by President George Washington following the creation of the new U.S. Constitution. Today, Thanksgiving means gratefulness for the harvest, your family, or a higher power. However you celebrate, all of us with your local Civic Media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. Hours before a negotiated ceasefire takes effect, Israeli jets flying through the Gaza Strip, 13 of the approximately 240 Israeli hostages Hamas kidnapped, set to be released in a matter of hours, Qatar Foreign Ministry spokesperson Majid Al-Ansari.
The need for us all to work together to make sure that this